Welcome to the end of week 9 at Criswell College. Can we give the Lord a hand for perseverance and thank God for that? Now's the time of the semester where everybody begins to feel the weight, so I would encourage you, keep pushing forward. You're doing well, and if you're not, hopefully you know that already. So work on that, but for those of you generally, I know you're doing well. So I've got 3 announcements for you this morning. The first one is an event that's coming on October 18th, so let's get that one up there. The RAD Basic Defense Course, open to Criswell female students and staff. It's a basic defense course, just another way, another tool in your tool belt to keep you safe. And so we want to provide that. Notice it's a 2-day training. Friday, 10:18, 1:30 to 6:30, Saturday, 10:19, 9 to 2. And it is not an either or, it's a both and. So if you want to come and participate, please come and participate, and we'll get you signed up for that. Next one, our discussion panel that's immediately following chapel for drug and alcohol awareness. This comes on Thursday, October 24th, and I just found out that you will have an awesome MC at that event, me. So I'm excited to be a part of that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So we'll have a good time. It'll be a panel discussion. There'll be lunch provided. And so if you want to be a part of that, please come and be a part of that. And then lastly, a Criswell Christmas. And I've got some copy here I need to read. I've been provided with some copy for the event. Here we go. Let's see if that Arkansas education pays off. All right. We have an exciting upcoming event this Christmas called A Criswell Christmas on December 6th at 6 p.m. There'll be a live band called Sonship. 2 of the band members are actually Criswell alumni, and you can listen to them on Spotify. So if you want to see what they're about, Sonship, S-O-N, ship. A catered dinner, some super cool door prizes, and some more exciting entertainment that is still in the works. It will be a black tie formal. Tickets are $20 each. It's open to all students, staff, faculty, and your plus ones. They're holding a raffle for a single prize, which consists of 2 free tickets for you and your plus one. They're going to draw the winner today. So make sure and sign up in the back after chapel is over, and the winner will be announced via Criswell social media tonight. So I will give you another announcement, just a reminder at the end. Alyssa Masters is going to be back at the back taking down names for those who are signing up to be a part of the raffle. I'll remind you of that at the end, okay? So be sure you get involved in all these events. And now, without further ado, let's welcome Luis Suarez, and he's going to introduce our chapel speaker. Let's give him a hand this morning.
Good morning. It's my honor to introduce today's speaker. And although I recently met our speaker today, Dr. Mike Gonzalez, upon my arrival here at Criswell College, I was very familiar with his work in ministry over many years. Matter of fact, my ministry mentors and former professors speak very highly of his commitment to God and ministry, particularly his ministry to our Hispanic community here in the state of Texas and in the United States. Dr. Mike Gonzalez, having served in Spain as a foreign missionary, a pastor and general evangelist for the International Mission Board from 1976 to 1991, he speaks very good Spanish from Spain. He would probably argue that he speaks the correct form of Spanish, although some would beg to differ. Dr. Gonzalez obtained his bachelor's at Howard Payne University, and he earned a master's in divinity and a master's in missiology from Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He received an honorary doctorate of divinity from Howard Payne University. He was ordained to the ministry in June 8, 1975, and he has pastored many churches since. He has served in leadership roles such as the director of missions from the Rio Grande Valley Baptist Association, ethnic consultant for the Baptist General Convention of Texas. He currently serves as director of Hispanic Ministries at the Southern Baptist Texas Convention. Finally, and most importantly, he is married to his wonderful and joyful wife, who is here with us today, Ms. Dalia Gonzalez. They have a daughter, Ms. Angela Joyley. And also their granddaughter is visiting us today. She'll actually be leading worship. Also his associate, Jesse Contreras, and Criswell Lum will be leading us in worship. His wonderful family is here as well. He'll introduce them in a little bit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue with a wonderful time of worship. God, we thank you so much for this time. We're so grateful, God, that you give us the opportunity to gather together, Lord, to worship your name, but also to hear a word from you. We know, Father, that there are no coincidences, there are God incidents, and we thank you for bringing your people here today. We pray that we bless our visitors today as they lead us in worship. And thank you so much for Dr. Mike Gonzalez, his ministry, and his life, Father God. Stay with us at this time. We love you and we praise you. And his people said, amen.
Thank you. Mama Rat and Baby Rat were walking down the streets of downtown Dallas one night. It was cold, rainy. And all of a sudden, they heard some cats that were in the area. And so they started running real fast, and they took a right turn and got into a dead-end street. And so they couldn't go anywhere. And this one alley cat came out of nowhere and saw them and went down that dead-end street. And he started getting closer and closer and closer, thinking, I'm going to get me a good midnight snack. Well, Mama Rat stood her ground. Baby Rat got around behind Mama Rat, just shaking like a leaf, scared to death. And as that big old cat got closer and closer, all of a sudden, Mama Rat began to bark like a German Shepherd. And when that cat heard the barkings of the German Shepherd, got startled and went away and said they were safe. And Baby Rat said, Mama, I didn't know you could bark like a German Shepherd. She said, honey, it pays to be bilingual in the streets of downtown Dallas. It pays to be bilingual. Thank you, Dr. Creamer, for having me here, Chapel. Terry, good that you're here. Thank you, praise team, for all the songs that you lifted up to the Lord and prepared our hearts. In Texas, we have a population of over more or less 27 million people, which means we have more than 6 million, maybe some experts say 9 million Hispanics, 2 or 3 million in the Dallas-Fort Worth or Dallas area. And on a side note, of the 27 million, there are over 19 million people that do not go to any church and possibly are not Christians. So, Crystal students, keep on knocking on those doors. We might get another Jesse, okay? And or another student, another person that will come and accept Christ and continue to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We have a great evangelistic task ahead of us. Right here in Texas, Texas has become a foreign mission field for us. Some years ago, I served on a Hispanic Southern Baptist Convention task force that was made up of leaders from all over the convention, and we were to address the issues of Hispanics in the United States. And we came up with a document that was called the 21st Century Hispanic Realities, Transforming the Social and Panorama of North America. It was written by Dr. Daniel R. Sanchez, seminary missions professor of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. Let me quote some of the statements that came out of that document. I think it will help us to understand where we are. The outstanding growth of the Hispanic population is transforming the social and religious panorama of North America and has very significant implications for the work that Southern Baptist Convention agencies do among Hispanics. Several surveys and studies have been done in recent years that shed light that the rate of growth as well as types of growth that Hispanics are experiencing. Another quote is, a study of Hispanics in North America reveals that there are several realities that have significant implications for individuals and institutions who are seeking to minister to Hispanics. We are calling them realities instead of trends due to the factor that they are already in progress. And not just factors that are projected to take place in the future. We are already here. Reality One tells us that the growth of the Hispanic American population has exceeded even the boldest projections of demographic experts. Between 1970 and the year 2000, the Hispanic population grew by 25.7 million, from 9.6 million to 35 million. The Hispanic birth rate in 1995 was documented that in one in every six births in America was Hispanic. Demographers have projected that by the year 2050, one in every three births will be Hispanic. The Census Bureau projects that 102.6 million Hispanics will live in the United States by 2050, which means that almost one in four, 24% of the U.S. population is projected to be Hispanic by 2050. The projected net gain in the Hispanic population from 2000 to 2050 is going to be 67 million. The projected Hispanic population of 102.6 million in 2050 is almost triple of the Hispanic population of 35.3 million in the year 2000. Reality 2 tells us that the study that Hispanics have spread throughout the country faster than any previous immigrant group. The Hispanic population is growing in all metropolitan areas. Many Hispanics are bypassing the gateway cities and are going directly to new destinations and new areas. Many Hispanics are now spreading to the suburbs, and today 54% of all Hispanics live in the suburb. Reality 3 tells us that the first generation, the immigrants, have become the largest segment of the Hispanic population in America today. Demographers predict that until 2020, the first generation will continue to be the largest segment of the Hispanic population. That means Spanish will continue to be spoken in Hispanic families. And Anglos, it pays to be bilingual. My mom, when she had a neighbor of a friend that came from Mexico, and within 3 days he was able to land a job with a landscaper. And so my mom asked him, "How did you do that? You don't speak English, and your boss doesn't speak Spanish, and you already got a good job. How do you communicate with him?" And so this man said, "Well, Miss Juanita," that was my mom's name, "Miss Juanita, I learned three words in English. And with those three words, I got by every time, or I get by every time." "What are those three words?" He said, "You know me. So when I go to work, my boss says, 'Are you ready to go to work, Jose?' 'You know me.' 'Are you ready to take a break?' 'You know me.' 'Are you ready to go to lunch?' 'You know me.' You know me, brother. 'Are you ready to go home, Jose?' 'You know me.' 'Are you ready for your paycheck?' 'You know me.'" Man, with that "you know me," he got out of everything. He was able to function well. So many Hispanics will continue to do what needs to be done when they get here and communicate. Reality 4 says that the use of the Spanish language has increased in the past two decades. It really does pay to be bilingual. Reality 5 says that the second and third generation of Hispanics have made significant strides in the educational attainment, yet the first generation will still lag behind. We need to continue to encourage the second and third generation of Hispanics to avail themselves of existing educational programs like we have here in Criswell College. And I'm so happy and proud of our Luis Juarez that is here on campus. He's doing a fantastic job. Let's give him a hand. Oh, Luis, thank you so much, brother. Reality 6 is that the Hispanics are showing more receptivity to the message of Jesus Christ than ever before in the history of this country. Many Hispanics are responding to the evangelical message more. Well, they do, because they come. When they leave Latin America, they're already evangelical Christians. For example, almost one-third of the immigrants from Central America are already Christians. And many come and join existing churches, and they start new churches upon their arrival. Hispanics have the potential of influencing the American society in a very positive way. Reality 7 tells us that the Hispanics are typically very conservative regarding social values. Hispanics place a lot of importance on the family. Most Hispanics maintain that children growing in the United States will stay close to their families. when Hispanics have parties, let me tell you, it's a family affair. Everybody comes, right, Brother Jesse? Everybody comes. And that is the truth. Reality 8 tells us that the second and third generation Hispanics have made significant strides financially, yet typically newly arrived Hispanics have the most difficulty financially. First generations who do not speak English are more likely to have lower incomes, to rent living quarters, and to have financial, and they have financial difficulties. And many times they avoid using banks. They put the money under the mattress. You ever heard of that? Some years ago, I think it was in the 90s, Del Rio, Texas had a great flood. And there was an elderly man looking in all the rubbish. And they asked him, "Sir, can we help you? What are you looking for?" And he said, "I'm looking for my mattress. Please help me find it." "Why?" "Because I have all my money there." And so he was looking for his mattress in all that rubbish. True story, Dahlia. Amen. So Reality 7 tells us there are typically very, very conservative. And Reality 8 tells us the second and third generation Hispanics have made significant strides financially. Now, Reality 9 tells us the Hispanic Americans are the group with the largest number of children and young people. It has also been noted that half of the Hispanic population is under the age of 26 years old. Hispanic children and youth are typically more receptive to the message of Jesus Christ than their parents. Contextualized strategies for reaching Hispanic children and young people are desperately needed in our churches. Reality 10, and this is the last one. I didn't tell you there were 10, but I would have told you. Then you was, "Oh man, he's going to preach a long time." No, this is the last of the realities, and then I'm going to share some things on my heart. Reality 10 says that the last one of this study tells us the Hispanics have much in common with one another, yet there are significant diversities among them. Hispanic Americans face the dual challenge of immigration and assimilation simultaneously. On the other hand, new immigrants function almost exclusively within their native culture and language, while on the other hand, their children immediately upon their arrival embark on rapid assimilation process promoted by public education, the media, and peer pressure. My work here at the SBTC is to help Hispanic Baptist churches in receiving needed church resources, training, and special events for church members, youth, and pastors, and wives, and leaders. I help in giving direction to an array of Hispanic events that we have throughout the year. We just had our annual Hispanic men's retreat at the River Bend Camp in Glen Rose. We had over 525 men there, and they were from 40 Hispanic churches. We also will have next year 2 Hispanic women's retreats. We will have 2 Hispanic family retreats. We're planning next year for an annual Hispanic summit in English. You're welcome to come. Just talk to Brother Jesse. He's the one that leads it, and he will be leading that. And we also will have a 2020 youth camp in English that will be held at the River Bend Camp at Glen Rose the first week in August. God is at work and does not want us only to reach Hispanics, but we are to reach the whole world. Amen? Amen. The whole world. Says, and the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Matthew 24:14. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now let me share with you some practical suggest strategies in sharing the gospel for those who do not know Christ. And this is where I want to park myself here in these last moments. Our annual SBTC State Convention will be meeting soon. The dates are October the 27th, 28th. If you can't go, please pray for those days. And we'll be meeting in Odessa, Texas at the First Baptist Church. Dr. Juan Sanchez of High Point Baptist Church in Austin is our president. And on Monday night, we'll have Dr. Paul Chitwood, president of the International Mission Board, who will be giving us the main message that night, or one of the messages that night. God is doing a great and mighty thing. Mighty work among our convention. Our theme for our annual meeting is, who's your one? All of us have those of us that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we must be about sharing the gospel to the lost world. The North American Mission Board is making this a Southern Baptist Convention emphasis for all Southern Baptists in North America. Just reach out to one person. That's Not hard to do. Just reach out, share the gospel with one person, pray with that one person, and urge them to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It is doable. One of my favorite scripture references that illustrates this type of evangelism is found in John chapter 4, when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. And John chapter 4, 39 through 42 tells us, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of the word. And then they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. No matter what language you speak, no matter what color of your skin is, no matter where you are, Jesus has come to save the world and you. Amen. There was a man that was going down the road, and he saw a sign, and it said, bridge out. Well, he got off his truck, his trailer. He looked, and I don't see a bridge is out. He said, I'm going to take a chance. So he got back on, and he continued going down about 3 miles. Sure enough, the bridge was out. So he had to come back around. Somehow he was able to maneuver, and he came back to the place where he first started. And there was another big sign waiting for him, and it said, welcome back, stupid. For many people, the bridge is out. And that's why we should be about evangelizing and sharing the gospel. Who's your one? That is a tremendous emphasis. And so we need to understand that God has placed us here so that we can share the gospel. People that live in this community, their bridge, their spiritual bridge is out. They need to come to Jesus Christ. And God has given us this word that we are to, the gospel that we are to share with the lost people. Mark 16:15 says we are to preach the good news to everyone on this earth. Yet in our Lone Star State, Texas is a national leader in teen pregnancies, divorce, child abuse, teen suicides, and violent crimes. We have seen that in the Sutherland Springs, El Paso, Odessa, and many other places. Hispanics, Anglos, Asians, African Americans, Muslims, and all people need to meet Jesus and accept him in a personal way. We need to be bold in our witness for Christ. And if we do not know Christ as your if you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, talk to me today. Or talk to somebody here, and you will get to meet Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And Jesus reached out to the Samaritan woman. He was able to make her see some things. And when he talked to this lady, he was able to say, first of all, he was able to make the Samaritan woman see her need. In John chapter 4, 13 through 15, everyone who drinks from this water will get thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I give to him will never thirst again. In fact, the water that I will give will become a well of water springing up in him for eternal life. Sir, said the woman to him, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and come here to draw water. She was there to draw water, but she was really, her big need was a spiritual thirst. She was thirsty for those eternal things. And many people that live around us, around the campus, that live in this area, they need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Remember, their bridge is out. Secondly, Jesus was able to make the Samaritan woman see her condition. John chapter 4, 16 through 18. Go call your husband, he told her, and come back here. I don't have a husband, she answered. You have correctly said, I don't have a husband, Jesus said, for you have had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. And so Jesus was able to make her see her condition. She was a sinner. She was lost. She was far from God. And that's our mission, so that we can share the good news with sinners, people who do not know Jesus Christ. Oh, we need to do that always. And the Samaritan woman found out quickly that she was spiritually lost and that she needed Christ in her life. Then Jesus made her see the plan of salvation. First John chapter 4, 25 through 26 says, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Jesus. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I, the one speaking to you, am he. I am he. Jesus is the only real relationship we can have to know the real God. When we come to Christ, we come to God. And really, it's not a religion. It's a relationship with the living Lord. That's what we need to seek for. He is our rock and our solid rock. He will never move. There was a family that went on a boat ride. And so as they went out, all of a sudden, a storm came suddenly. And then the father decided to come back to the dock, but it was too late. And the storm was just too fierce. And it crashed among the rocks. And as it did, the boat just exploded. Everyone perished except one young little boy, 7-year-old boy. And so he grabbed onto that rock. He got to the top. And there he was all night long. And he was there with the lightning and the winds and everything. And so he just stayed there. And then in the morning, his rescuers came and they found him. And they were able to get him to land. And one of the men said, now, son, let me ask you this. When you were on top of that rock, did you tremble? Tell me the truth. He said, sir, I don't mind telling you the truth. I trembled all night long. I was scared to death. But let me tell you one thing. The rock never trembled. The rock never trembled. Jesus Christ is our solid rock. Amen? And he will never let us down. And Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman, but he made her see her mission. And her life became a witness for Jesus. And she began to share the good news about Jesus with boldness. And that is our mission, Criswell College and friends. We are to share the gospel of Christ with boldness. We're to share the gospel of Christ with confidence. We're to share the gospel of Christ with everyone in this whole world. A young man and his wife had accepted the call to become missionaries in Africa. They were to report to New York and make their final arrangements. When they took their medical exams, they found out that the wife had failed her exam. It was that she could not take the warm climate, and also she had other complications as well. So they were told that they could not go to Africa as missionaries. Well, he was heartbroken. When he returned to his house, he was determined to make all the money in the world and to be able to give it to missions. His father was a dentist, and he was going to start a new business on the side. And he asked his son, can you help me with this new venture, son? And it was to make unfermented wine and provide it for the churches. And he took the new business and he began to develop it until it became a very, very, very successful business. His name was Mr. Welch. Okay? His family still manufactures grape juice to the whole world, and we know that brand name as what? Welch's. Mr. Welch gave millions of dollars to missions. And we are called, all of us are called by Jesus Christ to share the good news to everybody on this planet, in this world. May we be a witness for him in this world to impact all the nations, all the tribes, tongues, and many cultures of this world with a message of Jesus Christ. Over 7 billion people live in this world, and they need to hear and meet and receive the living Messiah, Jesus Christ, in their lives. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you because you are our Messiah. You are our living Lord. You've come to die. You died on the cross. You've died. You paid the price so that many will come to know you. Hispanics, Anglos, African Americans, Muslims, Asians, all kinds of people, they need to come to you. And Father, we thank you for the message of Jesus Christ because it does bring us hope. It is a saving hope. And Father, help us to understand that you have placed us here for a purpose. You have placed us here for a mission. You have given us that message that is burning in our hearts so that we can share it with the people around us. Give us boldness. Give us confidence. In the name of Christ, I pray these things. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. If you have a particular interest in Hispanic ministry, Be sure that you get with Dr. Mike or get with Jesse while they're here today. Let them know about that interest. Ask them what opportunities might be available to participate in something like that. And we've heard this many times, and I think God brings it to us many times so that we think about it. You know, the nations are here today. You know, when the modern missions movement began, people had to pack up everything they owned, jump on a boat, and go halfway around the world to reach people. And now we bump into the nations at the grocery store, when we get coffee, when we're in a restaurant. And so we need to remember that and understand that God is bringing the nations here. That's one of the benefits of living here. And just be ready. So by a quick point of personal application, I am not a natural evangelist, okay? I love to preach. I love to exposit the word. And I envy people who bump into someone at a coffee shop and end up in the midst of a gospel conversation. I don't have that natural ability. God hasn't gifted me with that gift. However, so I can't weasel out of what we're called to do. There's that little line in Timothy where Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. So evangelism is sometimes going to be work. For those of you that it's not work for, praise God, you're a gift to the church. For the rest of us, we need to be always ready for those opportunities. Be in a constant posture to see when that conversation can turn and to share with people the hope that we have. You know, we have genuine faith and we want other people to have it as well. No matter where they're from, they need Jesus. All they have to be is human. All right? They need Jesus. So let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Father, we pray that you would continue the bless the work of Dr. Mike Gonzalez with the SBTC for Jesse as they work with churches to help them understand, contextualize, consider strategies to reach out to first, second, third generation Hispanic families that are surrounding their churches to help them navigate what special cultural considerations need to be made. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to multiply that ministry that they have. Lord, as this one particular population segment that we've talked about today continues to grow, I pray that our impact would increase, that we could continue to see people come to the gospel, to know Jesus, to be saved. And Lord, we just thank you for that opportunity. So as we leave here today, Lord, help us to do the work that you've set before us. Help us to do the work of an evangelist and share with people the same love that we've received through your Son, Christ Jesus. It's in his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen. We're dismissed.